Whether you're on the go or at the ballpark, T-Mobile is built to keep you connected wherever the game takes you. With America's best network, you know your phone is going to work, even in a crowded stadium, for instance. If you lose track of your friends, after a long seventh-inning stretch, one quick message and a shared location later, you'll find each other without missing the next pitch. And you can upload the video of the game-winning hit and share it before you even leave your seat. And on the days you can't make it to the ballpark, streaming the game on the go feels just as electric. No buffering, no interruptions, just every moment as it happens. Find out how baseball hits different with T-Mobile at T-Mobile.com/MLB. Fastest based on analysis by Ookla of speed test intelligence data of national speed score results for the second half of 2025. Best based on analysis by Ookla of the speed test intelligence data for the second half of 2025.
The podcast Campus Files is back with more stories of scandal, crime, and intrigue on college campuses. Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, Northeast Pennsylvania, it's Rob O'Donnell here on WILK News Radio. 103.1 FM, 910, 980 AM, or anywhere on that free Odyssey app. You can download that app anywhere you get your favorite apps. Your Google Play Store, your Apple App Store, you look for the Odyssey app. Big orange background, a big white A. Once you download it, you look for WILK News Radio, you click favorite, and that's it. You got us. We're in there. Get us anywhere, anytime, any place. Pick up where you left off. Pure digital bliss signal. Don't ever worry about going through the mountains. It's pretty much how I listen to it most of the time when I'm out of the immediate area. So how's everybody doing on this Tuesday, June 17th, 2025? It's 68 degrees, 309. Chugging through the week, aren't we? We're all still here. You're here, hopefully. I'm here, hopefully. We know Jake's here. I'm looking at him. But I'm questionable. That being said, and we got Paul Michaels here for the news. I know he's digging through it and looking to get you some of the greatest and most up-to-date stories in there. We'll get weather and traffic to you later. And I just gave you the weather. 68 degrees. We're already ahead of the game. Traffic? Heh, don't worry about it. You'll get where you're going soon enough. And do you really need to get where you're going that fast? I probably think not. So, like I said, you're here, I'm here. Well, Jake's here. Some Iranian generals aren't here. That's pretty much a sure thing. It looks like there's been continuing back and forth. It seems to be each day dwindling less and less that Iran is launching into Israel. They've been warned over and over again. President Trump left the G7 summit early last night with the Secretary of State back to Washington, D.C., where he convened his National Security Council in the Situation Room. And today, the tone of his posts seemed to have changed, where today it was, we have total control over the airspace over Iran. So that's a new update to where he went from Israel to we. And more recently, he did let the Ayatollah of Iran know that we know exactly where you are. You're safe. We're not going to take you out, quotation marks, kill you now. But the best thing you could do is come to the table for a deal and get rid of your nuclear programs. So, that being said, too, there's been a mass movement of support aircraft and tankers, aerial tankers from the United States, from across the United States to the CENTCOM region of operation. CENTCOM is the Middle East. And there's also B-2 bombers on station, which is the only unclassified bomber that could carry that big bunker buster bomb that could reach the one nuclear facility that's deep in the mountains of Iran. There's a lot of things going on there. You saw Donald Trump yesterday, the president, tell the people of Tehran to evacuate the city. And you have to read into that a little bit. And again, this is I've been speaking to some military contacts and such like that. It's not like us or Israel is going to carpet bomb Tehran. But what you have to realize is Tehran is the chokehold of the Iranian people from the government. They rule their people with an iron fist. They have strict control over them. And sometimes that control is very harsh and brutal. By telling the people of Tehran to evacuate, you are spreading that condensed power. You are moving the people to other places of the country to where they may be influenced by revolutionaries who want to see this government go back to preset 1979 times, to where they can coordinate with each other to possibly challenge their own government. So it's technically, from military intelligence people that I've spoken to, a brilliant move on behalf of the president. Because if you saw the videos, there was literal gridlock leaving Tehran from the moment it was announced to even today. But you also have to realize that it's not like the entire city is going to be destroyed. It's not like carpet bombing is going to come in and we're going to indiscriminately or Israel is going to indiscriminately, you know, start bombing buildings. If we want to take out the leader of Iran, it's going to be, you know, a precise missile through his bedroom window and blow out his sandals. That's pretty much the way that'll happen. That's the way the attacks have happened up to date, whereas Iran is basically just lobbing what they have into to Israel, into populated areas. We have taken an extreme defensive posture around our military personnel in that area. Like I said, we do have B-2 assets on station that at any time could happen. But that evacuation of Tehran was more so to start letting the people of Tehran maybe have a discussion of do they want to change directions as a nation? Do they want a change of leadership? So it's a good idea to keep an eye on that, to keep an eye on that as they move forward. So where we go from here, it's hard telling. There is division in even conservative America. And listen, there's a lot of people that's torn. I don't think anyone. I think there's a large portion that doesn't want any piece of war. I don't want any piece of war. But you have to realize that Iran has been attacking us and killing Americans for 5 decades now. And if you can't see that, I mean, just over the past 2 years, Iranian proxies have been attempting to kill Americans and have successfully killed Americans. They have caused serious injury and traumatic brain injury to Americans, to American servicemen. They have tried to kill 7,000 Americans with the Truman Battle Group, Strike Group, in the Red Sea for the past 9 months. And before that, it was the USS Eisenhower and their strike group. So make no mistake, Iran has tried to kill Americans. Iran has touted time and time again death to America. If you don't recall the Iranian boats that took a U.S. Navy patrol boat during the Obama administration hostage for a short time. This is a regime that is not sanely operating a nation. And I wish, and I did speak to some contacts in the Department of Defense to hopefully pass on to the administration, that I wish that the administration and American media would show video of pre-1979 Iran, show how modern it was at the time, show how they dressed in Western clothes and the booming economy and their social life was outstanding. It was basically Cuba before, you know, communism took over there. So I wish they would show more of that. You see little clips here and there of mostly on social media, but I think our administration, and not just to Americans, but to the world, hey, this is what Iran was prior to 1979. It was a thriving nation. It was a thriving economy. The people were unbelievable. I had friends who fled from Iran 1978, 1979 during that transition. And, they would tell me back then, and I was just a kid and we were kids. Actually, some of them were a little older. You know, how great it was there. We were great allies back in the day. That's why they have these F-14 Tomcats. So we're postured defensively in the region. I think it would be a huge mistake because they basically cannot defend themselves at all. The thing is that I'm hearing is this deep embedded nuclear facility that has not been struck because there's only a few munitions and we have them that could strike it. There will be radiological fallout, possibly, if that happens. And I think that's one of the hesitations here. But, I think the thought is if they bury it precise enough, it's mitigated. But make no mistake, I think the writing is on the wall that Iran will not have a nuclear program, and they can either do that voluntarily or by force. And I think if it's made by force, you will see a leadership elimination in Iran. Approve of that or not, really not my concern. Like I said, Iran has tried to kill our sons and daughters, husbands and wives in our military and surrounding areas for many decades, and not most recently on a large scale. So I could really care less there. Do I want to see America get dragged into some sort of regime change? Absolutely not. If you look at Iraq, if you look at Afghanistan, Iran makes that minuscule. And if you look at the problems that were had in Iraq and Afghanistan, to where Afghanistan is still a mess, Iraq is still, nowhere where it needs to be. But the Iranian people need to decide, and I think that's a major factor here. And I think that was one of the prods from the administration to have the nucleus of Tehran, the power brokers of Iran, leave and get out of that iron fist that overshadows them, to possibly start making their own decisions and having conversations of, what do we look like after our leader's gone? What do we look like after our military is devastated? Do we want to thrive as a city? Do we want to thrive as a nation? Do we want to thrive as an economy? Because they can. They have the resources to. They will no doubt in short order be the next Dubai, the next Saudi Arabia, if they allow themselves to. And again, if they allow themselves to. This is nothing that we should take part in. It's nothing that we should have part in. Obviously, we should have relations with them, but in no way have anything to do with the rebuilding of Iraq. Support it from a peripheral? Absolutely. Iran. Support it from the peripheral? Absolutely. But in no way do I support us being involved in any sort of regime change. That has to come from the people. That has to come from the Iranians themselves. Do they want it? Because if they don't overwhelmingly want change, you're going to have another Afghanistan. You're going to have another Iraq. You're going to have Assyria. You're going to have these places that have just devolved in that area to centuries of chaos. And we don't need to be part of that. The American people, our sons and daughters, husbands and wives, and our military don't need to be part of that. So you will never see me advocate for that. Now, if they attack us, my answer would be overwhelming response to make sure that it never happens again. But they are a clear and present danger to the world. They always have been. They have been trying after decades, and if not the past two specifically, of talks and negotiations and massive funds being dropped off. They are unreasonable. So either they find reasonable leadership or we will have to deal with what they choose to lead them. And I think that time is coming very rapidly. But we'll see. Hopefully we stay out of it as much as possible. But today, the answer from our administration was we control the airspace over Iran. So I guess we'll see what that leads to. And I think if it does happen, it'll be very quickly. I think there's an ultimatum on the table. You give up 100% of your nuclear wishes and everything will be done out of country, off-site, for your domestic power or whatever else you need. Other than that, I could see their leader and their nuclear infrastructure being totally gone in a very rapid order. But I guess we'll see. War is something that's never wished for. Even if it's simply a couple of our pilots over the area, it still puts them at risk. It still puts them at danger. If we can avoid it, let's avoid it. So, as per General Joseph Votel, who's the former CENTCOM commander, I'm seeing now that Trump in the Situation Room meeting, that strikes are on the table. And of course they are. You can't say they're not on the table, because the only thing Iran understands is power. The only thing they understand is overwhelming force, that they will not be here tomorrow if they don't make a decision today. So I guess we'll see where this goes. Make no mistake that our weapons are extremely capable to deal with their facilities, and they have seen nothing like we could unleash on them if we need to. It's 3:22 here at WILK. We'll be back. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. You can call or text at 570-883-0098. Got some text message already. Somebody said, just ask Michael Mantrinko, former American hostage in Iran who was from Oliphant, about Iran. He was a hostage when they overthrew the Shah, was working in the embassy. I did not know that. And if he's around and would like to give us a buzz, absolutely. Body Shop Guy checking in, always on point. Explained the guy from Lowe's, the Lowe's shooting that turned himself in and called 911 himself, wasn't a public threat and denied bail. But the Minnesota nutjob shooter with a hit list was possible bail set. Yeah, I believe he did get a. He did get $5 million bail, and I think that if he even attempts to make that, the feds will step in and hopefully put a kibosh on that, because he is being prosecuted concurrently by state and federal charges. I also did see that Kraft Heinz, the company, said today, made a statement that they will be removing all dyes from their foods over the next 2 years. Now, Kraft Heinz has, of course, Kraft and Heinz, Jell-O, Smart Ones, Velveeta, Kool-Aid, Capri Sun, Rita Fries, Kraft Mac and Cheese, Classico, Grey Poupon, Maxwell House, Lunchables, Golden Circle, Philadelphia Cream Cheese, Quero, and a whole bunch of other things. So Kraft Heinz over the next 2 years, it's going to be interesting to see what they do with Kool-Aid, Jell-O, and some of these other. Some of these other, if you look at something. I've actually started to make my own sauces. It's very easy on the internet to find out, making your own barbecue sauce, making your own A1 sauce, making your own ketchup. It's really, I think it tastes a lot better, first of all, and I know it's a lot healthier because it doesn't have a lot of the stuff in it. You're able to modify it to your taste. I like more vinegar in some things than others when it comes to those types of sauces. So something to look into if you're interested in that. The A1 sauce is on point, the steak sauce. So there was a public meeting in Clark Summit today that aims to make Abington Street safer. We've heard this, huh? The nonprofit Valley in Motion will conduct a public outreach meeting Thursday at 6 p.m. at the Gathering Place in Clark Summit. For some reason, I thought that was Tuesday, but it is Thursday at 6 p.m. It's part of Lackawanna County's Safe Streets Project, where the county has embraced Vision Zero, a multinational road safety strategy that aims to eliminate traffic-related fatalities and serious injuries. The Lackawanna County Commissioners approved the contract with Bauman Consulting Group last year for the project, of which Valley in Motion is a subcontractor. Also working on the project are Environmental Planning and Designs and NV5. Bauman is working to identify hazardous areas and develop a comprehensive safety action plan, which will inform future safety improvement projects. The county will use the study to seek funds for further such improvements. Now, going through the story here, it talks about last year, State Street in Clark Summit had an average traffic volume of 17,820 vehicles and 745 trucks, according to data from the State Department of Transportation. North and South Abington Roads in Clark Green had an average of 5,879 vehicles and 187 trucks. In South Abington Township, there was an average of 7,857 vehicles and 481 trucks on Winola Road, according to the most recent data from PennDOT. The project is taking into consideration crashes among cars, people, and bikes and the seriousness of those injuries. But it appears, because it's not in this article, that data is not given. If they are looking,
whether you're on the go or at the ballpark, T-Mobile is built to keep you connected wherever the game takes you. With America's best network, you know your phone is going to work, even in a crowded stadium, for instance. If you lose track of your friends, after a long seventh-inning stretch, one quick message and a shared location later, you'll find each other without missing the next pitch. And you can upload the video of the game-winning hit and share it before you even leave your seat. And on the days you can't make it to the ballpark, streaming the game on the go feels just as electric. No buffering, no interruptions, just every moment as it happens. Find out how baseball hits different with T-Mobile at T-Mobile.com/MLB. Fastest based on analysis by Ookla of speed test intelligence data of national speed score results for the second half of 2025. Best based on analysis by Ookla of the speed test intelligence data for the second half of 2025.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Looking for safer streets, if they are looking for that, they just gave us each vehicle and what kind of trucks went by on these roads, but didn't say how many crashes were on these roads, how many people on bikes, and were there any serious injuries. I think that data would be very helpful and should be included in the story because they seem to have the other data, but if the whole thing is for the safety and making it safer for pedestrians, well, I think it would be nice to tell us how many, in fact, accidents have there been over the past few years, how many bicycles transverse this area. Because if you're going to think about putting in a bike lane, wouldn't it be good to know how many bikes cross the area? If they're trying to make it safer, wouldn't it be good to know how many accidents with injuries have occurred already? So it appears that's the focus of this, but they don't have any of that data, at least in this article at this time. They may have it, but I think it would have been a good idea to put it in there. A, for the public to say, do we really need this? Look how little incidents there are already. Or, hey, look, we didn't know there were that many. Let's put this on the fast track. Either way, the more information, the better. So that's what I picked up out of this. Hopefully, if you're in that area, I transverse this area quite often. My wife does it on a daily basis. So, anything to make things safer is fine, but let's make sure it's truly a good expenditure of tax dollars or grants or wherever else, you know, all the tax dollars in quotation marks. It's 3:31 here at WILK. It's time for the news with Paul Michaels. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. There's a video out claiming to be from the Iran's crown prince, Reza Pahlavi. He declares the Islamic Republic is collapsing and its end has come. The Islamic Republic has come to its end and it's collapsing. What has begun is irreversible. The future is bright, and together we will navigate this sharp turn in history. Now is the time to stand, and it's time to take back Iran. May I be with you soon. Now, there is questions, is this an authentic video or not? It was put through AI itself, and AI says it appears to be authentic, but there are questions about it. And if true, it goes to where I started the show off with, where it's going to be up to the Iranian people to start and take hold of their own government. Let's go to the phone now. We have Rodney from Scranton. Rodney.
Yes, sir. Here's what I got, Rob. This deep nuclear facility that they have, instead of bunker busters, and then you say the spread of nuclear material, I see on TV all the time, we have satellite images of the place. It can only have so many entrances. If we have air superiority, we being us in Israel, why don't we bomb all the entrances, and every time they try to dig it out, you do it again. Eventually, they're going to starve in there, and nobody can come in and out. They can't bring any nuclear material out. And then it's just a matter of time until they have to give it up.
Well, the little I know of how this operation may go down is several bunker busters will actually penetrate and destroy the interior, and then the exterior would collapse, and then they'd use conventional bombs on top of it to kind of collapse the mountainside on top of it. So that was should contain the facility.
Okay. I just wondered why you couldn't, you know, like answer the trap. You bust their entrances like a coal mine. There's only so many ways in.
Yeah, I mean, even if they just collapse it somewhat, they're still going to have to dig it out to try and get back to it, and then we can hit it again, like you said. But that, again, puts people in risk and danger. But from what I'm told, it'll be a several-layered attack to basically destroy it from the inside out and then collapse the entire mountain on top of it.
They're certainly not going to take my advice, but it was just something I thought of.
No, I hear you. I hear you. And if that's what's chosen to do, I think we're going to see something we've never seen before.
All right, brother. Thanks for taking my call.
All right. Thank you. Let me go to the phone now. We have Scott. Scott, how are you?
All right. You got to me real quick.
Yep. You popped up. I saw you were on the line earlier.
This is a serious conversation. I'm not joking around. What is our connection to Israel to begin with?
What do you mean?
I don't think we should be protecting them as much as we are. I've never met a good Jew in my life.
All right, Scott, well, you're gone. Listen, if that's your intent here, bring it somewhere else. Keep it to your own anti-Semitic life. If it's if you have a disagreement with supporting Israel, that's fine. I'm sure there's a lot of people that do. But to say you've never met a good Jew in your life is just disrespectful. And it's not going to happen on this show. It's not going to happen against Jews. It's not going to happen against Black Americans. It's not going to happen against anyone. So I apologize for the listeners who heard that, but there are people like that out there, and that's why we're dealing with a lot of the increase of anti-Semitism across the nation at one of the highest levels in decades. It's 3:40 here at WILK. We'll be back. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio, 344, 7 degrees. And if you didn't figure it out, Scott, you're banned from the show from this point on, so please don't bother calling. But if you have something intelligent to say, you can call or text at 570-883-0098. Let's go to the phone. We have Elle from Wayne County. Elle, how are you today?
I'm pretty good, except for a couple minutes ago. I cringed when I heard one of the people.
Well, they were shut down, and we move on, and hopefully he finds another radio show to listen to.
I would just like to say that I think Jewish people are great people. I worked for three different Jewish families growing up. And you want to be well treated, you work for a Jewish family. And that's all I can say to that person. I feel sorry for that person that was on, because I just can't believe he said what he said.
There are people like that out there, it's in one part it's not good, but people do hear it to realize that there are people like that out there, and that's the only positive that comes out of that interaction. Other than that, they ban themselves from the show, so I hope they're happy and we move on.
Yeah, well, let me follow up with AI. Last night I saw and heard on TV where AI is being used for people getting jobs. They're getting jobs from people that shouldn't be getting them because it's not real people. It's all using the AI.
AI is becoming a regular part of the workplace. I mean, it's embedded into everything. I use it every day. It's out there. It's I don't use it to replace anything. I use it to enhance things. I use it to check things, but then you even have to check the AI because it's been spitting out wrong stuff. So you have to do your due diligence. There were lawyers using AI for court arguments, and AI was making up cases. And when the judges and their clerks did the research, They're like, this doesn't even exist. Where'd you get this from? And then the lawyers are admitting, well, it was AI. And they're getting themselves in a lot of trouble. So I wouldn't put a whole bunch of faith in AI, but it's a useful tool if you use it for the purposes of, a little stuff here and there.
Well, Rob, when they first started talking about AI about a year or two ago, they started coming in talking a lot about it. They said that the one profession that wouldn't be using it was attorneys. They said that because I said, okay. And I listened to what they said, and they said they may be able to use it for like statistics and stuff, but they said that they would never be able to take a lawyer's job away from him.
Well, a couple of them got in trouble for using it, so they are using it. So maybe it's AI who wrote that story to begin with, Al. All right. We're going to leave it there, Al. I'm getting up against a break.
Okay.
Thank you. Let me see if I can get in John from DuPont. John, I got about 2 minutes here.
Okay. Rob, I want to mention that I know this might be a little bit late, but when Elon Musk was having this little dust up with Donald Trump, and he was saying Donald Trump's big, beautiful bill doesn't cut enough. Now, I'm thinking you could take the amounts of subsidies that he got from the United States. Now, I just did a little math. I tried to do it on my phone and that, but it wouldn't go that high. But for $100 a person that got the $100 credit for 100,000 cars, that comes to $10 million. Now you multiply that $100 by 15,000, and you're talking some money there. And he sold hundreds and hundreds of thousands of cars.
Well, one of the reasons he's mad, John, is because the big beautiful bill does take away those subsidies.
I hope it does. I mean, but the thing with the subsidies, that's for rich people to buy expensive cars. How about if they did a subsidy for lower income earners to buy a moderate car? Why did they give $15,000 to rich people? And then they come out and say, and I believe this is a Democrat, then they come out and say, oh, Republicans only give to the rich. Well, come on. The whole thing was a scam. We were screwed on it. Our tax money went to help rich people get a break on their fancy new electric car.
Well, the lower end Teslas go for about $30,000, John. So, that is an average car, but there's just not a lot of infrastructure here for an electric car.
But they got I don't care about that. They got $15,000 to buy a car. Send me $15,000 and I'll go buy a car.
I think it was 7500. I don't think it was 15, John. I think it was 7500.
That's too much. That's too much.
There's a lot of people that agree with you.
You know, oh, it's horrible. Why does he get that money? And was there a cost-effective study done?
I got 5 seconds, John. I'm up against the Bloomberg. I appreciate your call. Thank you. Time for the Bloomberg Money Minute. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. So New York Senator Chuck Schumer, during a press conference, standing next to Amy Klobuchar, the Minnesota senator, said the increase in violence on the kind of rhetoric, he blames the increase in violence on the kind of rhetoric that we hear some on the hard right use. Well, I want to tell you, Gorsuch, I want to tell you, Kavanaugh, you have released the whirlwind, and you will pay the price. You won't know what hit you if you go forward with these awful decisions. I think Chuck Schumer is the last person that should be lecturing us on inflaming rhetoric. Let's go to the phones now. We have Joe from Edwardsville. Joe, how are you, my friend?
I am doing well, Rob. How are you doing?
All right.
And happy Father's Day, by the way, brother.
Thank you. Happy belated to you as well.
Thank you. I've got a question here for you, and you may be just as mystified as I am. You know, I'm a little bit older than you, 62 years old, and I have met more Jews than you chicks. I know plenty. And it's my experience is they're just folks. I've known some jackasses. I've known some great people. They want a bell-shaped curve just like everybody else. Where does this just pointless hate for Jews come from? I don't understand it. It makes no more sense than, you know, hate Italians, the Irish, black folks, Hispanics. None of it makes any sense. So what is this? What? But it seems like, you know, it is almost universal. You'd find a lot of people with just this, I hate Jews. What? Come on, help me out here. Or are you just as mystified as I am?
No, I mean, there's good and bad in everyone. And some people just hold on to, you know, a bias that, you know, for whatever reason is there. Maybe it's just lack of knowing anyone, but you know, for statements like that, it's just for a blanket statement, like any statement like that, it's just uncalled for. So it's,
I did a spit take on that one. That was just, and I, you know, I hate that. I don't want to disagree with L, but to say they're all great, you know, that doesn't work either. It's always the opposite side of the same coin. They're people, and I don't understand it.
That's why I have a shirt that basically throws it to everyone and says, I hate people.
Oh, yeah, me. That's my thing. I'm not a bigot. I'm a misanthrope.
Yep.
It's that simple.
I equally dislike everybody.
Yes. And, you know, and people rarely disappoint. They'll give me a reason.
Yep.
But that's the thing that I never understood, why people hated someone because of their race or their this or their that. If I disliked somebody, trust me, and I started listing the reasons why I don't like them, by the time I got down to what color they were or what race they were, I'd be tired. So just, you know, that one never occurs to me.
You know what it is, Joe, and you and I can relate to this because of what we've done in life. You in the military, me in law enforcement, you know, you in the medical field. You've put your lives in the hands of people from all races, of all backgrounds, and would trust them with anything to do with your life. I've done the same. You know, I have people I would walk through fire of every demographic. That being said, a lot of people haven't. A lot of people haven't. So, you know, they get these single opinions. And, you know, it's interesting because you'll get the people who say, well, what about the illegal immigrants? We're not talking about people who are here. And I'm the first to say, yes, we need to revamp our immigrant system. Because, of course, you know, you have to monopolize any situation. So because someone was anti-Semitic, you know, it has to be about illegal immigrants. And it's interesting how, you know, a lot on the left or a lot of people are just saying immigrants. They're not using the word. They're not differentiating between the two. And if you look at the immigrant community, the legal immigrant community that's here, they're angrier at this than pretty much anyone.
Well, of course they are. Of course they are. I was a nurse. And, you know, if there was, you know, if they were just started handing out nursing licenses to everybody, oh, I'd be pissed.
Yep.
I went through a lot to get that.
No,
and it meant a great deal to me.
I agree. I think anyone with a criminal record outside of the initial violation of coming here illegally needs to be removed. The people who that have lived here longer than 5 years, not under the Biden administration, because that was just a border free-for-all where people took advantage of a situation, they need to go too. But people who are here over 5 years, who are not a burden on social services, have been here and peacefully, no criminal records, we need to come up with some sort of system to deal that. And I'm not saying anything strange. Bill Clinton said this. Barack Obama said this. Hillary Clinton said this. Either they pay a fine or there's some sort of thing. They should never be allowed to become a citizen, but they should be given a path to legal residency, but again, should never vote. You know, those are the penalties that there should be for skipping the line. And what that specifically entails.
If they want to be citizens, then they can leave and come back doing it the right way.
Yep. I agree.
If they're satisfied with a green card or you know, legal resident status, then fine. You're right. Because we've got other fish in the fire here already, you know? Yeah, I'm mixing metaphors here. Cool. Bigger fish to fry and a lot of irons in the fire. But, no, you get exactly what I'm saying. I hear you loud and clear.
I do, my friend. Well, it's coming up on the 4 o'clock hour here. We got to go. I appreciate you checking in with us.
I appreciate you being there, and I love your bumper music.
I appreciate it. That's all, Jake. Thanks, buddy. It's 4 o'clock here at WILK.
Whether you're on the go or at the ballpark, T-Mobile is built to keep you connected wherever the game takes you. With America's best network, you know your phone is going to work, even in a crowded stadium, for instance. If you lose track of your friends, after a long seventh-inning stretch, one quick message and a shared location later, you'll find each other without missing the next pitch. And you can upload the video of the game-winning hit and share it before you even leave your seat. And on the days you can't make it to the ballpark, streaming the game on the go feels just as electric. No buffering, no interruptions, just every moment as it happens. Find out how baseball hits different with T-Mobile at T-Mobile.com/MLB. Fastest based on analysis by Ookla of speed test intelligence data of national speed score results for the second half of 2025. Best based on analysis by Ookla of the speed test intelligence data for the second half of 2025.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, real people tell their stories live on stage.
I burst into tears. And I wasn't sure if I was crying because I hadn't been kissed in a really long time or if I had just never been kissed like that before.
To hear fascinating, heartbreaking, and sometimes hilarious stories from astronauts, teachers, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.